Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, something new is on its way. Now turn to someone else and say, you're about to step into something new. But here's the thing that you need to understand about new things. If you're going to step into something new, that means that you have to start doing something new. See, if I want something new in my life, that means I've got to start putting something new into my life. Every harvest demands a seed. And every seed is designed to produce an intended harvest. But the only way you can get the harvest is for you to get the seed into the ground. So whatever it is that you're needing or desiring out of your life, you've got to learn how to identify that seed and get it into the ground so that it can grow what it needs to grow. The reason I'm saying that is because this morning as I release this word, I'm going to give you some seeds to sow that will produce something incredible in your life. But it is your job an obligation to sow the seed. And if you'll sow the seed, then God will bring the increase. Are you following me so far? The Bible says that one man sows, another man waters, God brings the increase. So there we see everyone's responsibility. God will bring the increase. But it's your job to sow. It's your job to water. I can lead you in this word and show you all the things from this word, but until you do something with it, it will do nothing for you. So that's my challenge today. Lean in and listen, but listen for the purpose of applying. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got to apply. If you have your Bible, we're going to start in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 6. And Paul says this. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul is saying that there is a gift in your life, Timothy, but it is your responsibility to fan it into flame. In other words, God has given you the gift and the ability, but you have to develop it. This month, we're starting a series called Gifted, and when we talk about being gifted in an area, we're talking about having a skill, something that you're good at. But I want you to understand the only way you become skillful in an area is by developing that area. Fan it into flame. Begin to develop it. As we talk about this seed today, we're going to be talking about how to develop it so that it will produce. This past week, we took our family skiing in Colorado. It was amazing. The weather was so beautiful. They got a freak snow in November, 22 inches while we were there. And so it was amazing. And my older two daughters, they've skied before, so when we took them, it was like no big deal. They were on it. They were doing great. But our youngest daughter, Isla, she was a little hesitant about getting on the slopes. And the reason is because a few years ago we took her, and she was really little, and so we had one of those harness things. And so you're like holding the leash while she's skiing in front of you, and you're completely in control. And as soon as we took the harness off, she was out of control and it went bad. And so she was like, I'm done skiing. Like, Isla gives up really easy on things. And so she was really hesitant about skiing on this trip, but we finally convinced her to do it. My wife, Ashley, took her out and worked with her on the bunny slope, which is like pretty flat. And they worked for a couple of hours. And then she eventually, through practice, got to where she could get it on the big lift and ski with the rest of the family. But it came through practice. The ability to ski came through not just learning, but developing that skill. Skills have to be developed. Today, we're going to be focusing on how to become gifted in gratitude. But as we talk about gratitude today, I want you to understand that it is a skill and a gift that has to be developed. I want to show you this. There's six basic emotions that the human being is born with. If you'll bring those up on the screen. It is happiness, sadness, fear, anger, disgust, and surprise. Those are emotions that you are born with the ability to have. Now, whether you remember those six emotions or not really does not matter this morning. The only thing I want you to notice is this. Gratitude is not on that list. And the reason gratitude's not on that list is because gratitude is not an emotion we are born with. It is something we have to learn and develop. You know this if you've had kids. You know that your children didn't walk out of the womb saying, "Thank you for the life that you've given me." When they first start talking, they're not thanking you for giving them food. They're griping and complaining about not liking the food that they have. Can anybody bear a witness in here this morning? We train our children on how to feel the emotion of gratitude, and not just feel it, but how to express it, because gratitude is more than a feeling. It has to be expressed. And so when somebody gives our kid a gift, we look at them and say, "What do you say?" What are we trying to do? We're trying to teach them to feel and respond accordingly. Gratitude has to be cultivated. Gratitude has to grow. And as you grow in gratitude, gratitude will also start growing things for you. It's amazing. But when we talk about growing in gratitude, the only way gratitude is going to grow for you is through intentional thought and proper perspective. I want to say that again. If you want gratitude to grow in your life, it's going to take intentional thought and proper perspective. It's about how you view the life that you currently have. If you're always looking at your life and the things of your life as a burden, then that burden will not produce gratitude. That burden will produce an attitude. And your attitude doesn't change anything for the better. But instead of looking at the burden, if I'll start looking at the blessing, then the blessing will produce gratitude. And when I produce gratitude in my life, then things begin to shift and change. It's all about how you view what you're currently going through. The reason marriages start to dissolve over time is because instead of viewing our spouse as a blessing from God, we start seeing them as a burden in our life. Becomes the old ball and chain. You're following what I'm saying? And how many of you understand you treat a blessing and a burden completely different? I'll honor and cherish a blessing, but a burden I'll speak down to. So it's all about shifting the way I think. She can either be my blessing or she can be my burden. How am I going to respond to her? And it's not just marriage, it's every area of your life. Am I focusing on the blessing that I have, or am I focusing on the burden? Now, the natural response is we all look at the lack or we look at the burden. But if we can just take a moment to look at the blessing, that's when gratitude comes up. And as soon as gratitude arises, it gives me the opportunity to respond with thanksgiving, worship, praise, and generosity, because that's how I express the emotion that I feel. God, you have done this, and here is my thanksgiving. It's all about how you see. It's all about how you think. And it's important for us to start allowing God, through the power of his Holy Spirit and his word, to start shifting the way we think, because there are so many blessings in our life that we overlook or we take for granted. Yesterday, I was in my bedroom. I looked out the window, and there was this beautiful tree with the most vibrant orange leaves. And I told my wife, I said, "Isn't that tree beautiful?" And I just stood there just staring at how the yellow faded to this deep orange that went to this beautiful, vibrant red. And I just thought, man, that's amazing. And most of you would probably do the same thing. Most of you, when you see a beautiful tree, you probably go, "Oh, that's beautiful." I mean, through the fall, people will travel up to the mountains just to look at the leaves. That's a natural response. But beyond just looking at the beauty of the tree, I started going, "God, that's a gift from you to me." Have you ever thought about that? See, trees perform a practical purpose. We know that, right? It gives you oxygen. But there's no need for them to have variety or color. God could have created one kind of tree that looked the same all year long. He could have done that. And it would have produced the result that we needed of getting oxygen and doing all the stuff that trees do. I don't know, it's way above your head. I don't have time to get into the science of trees right now. I understand. You probably don't want to bore you. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, like, God could have given us one variety of tree and it would have served its purpose. But instead, he said, I'm going to give you something beautiful to look at and something beautiful to enjoy. And that enjoyment should result in your gratitude. And that gratitude should be responded by giving thanksgiving and praise. God, you did that for me. Thank you so much. See, it's things like that we don't really think about. Have you ever thought about food? I'm talking about like beyond going like, yeah, I'm hungry right now, Pastor. Can we wrap this thing up? I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm hungry or I'd like to have this. I'm talking about like the fact that food has taste. God didn't have to give food taste. God did not have to give you taste buds to taste the food that has taste for it to serve its purpose. What's the purpose? Just to nurture your body. He could have made it bland. He could have made it all look the same. He could have made it come from the same source, and it would have served its purpose. It could have nurtured your body, and we would probably be a lot more healthy because we would only have one option, and every option from God's good, you know, because God made the orange, not the Twinkie. You know, we always choose the Twinkie. God's saying, oh, dummy, eat the orange. You know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, those are things that God has given us as a gift to enjoy. And when I enjoy it, it should result in gratitude. And my gratitude should result in thanksgiving, worship, praise, and generosity. I want you to understand this. The Bible says in James, the first chapter, verse 17, it says, every good gift. Somebody say every. Every good gift comes down from the Father. In other words, if it's good, it's from God. If you enjoy it, it's because God has given you the ability to enjoy it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let me break that down for you. Everything belongs to God. Everything comes from God, and it is a gift to you. See, if we don't understand that, we'll live entitled. Because we'll think what I have is what I deserve. Oh, I worked hard for this. And maybe you did. Maybe you did work hard. Maybe you did apply yourself. But the question we should always be looking at is, who gave me the ability to work hard? Who gave me the passion to accomplish that project? Who gave me the skill and the ability? Who gave me the ability to dream and imagine and create? See, all that came from God. And without that, nothing else would matter. So yes, you've put in the effort, but the effort came from God. And what I'm trying to get you to see is if you'll start thinking this way, it is impossible to not experience gratitude. The reason I got up today, it's because God allowed me to get up today. The reason I can speak today is because God allowed me to speak today. The reason I can see you today is because God has given me the ability to see, and I see in color. I mean, what if we just saw in black and white? It would serve its purpose. We could still see. But God gave us the ability to see with color. Why? So that we can enjoy what he has done, what he has given to us as a gift. And the only response we should have is gratitude. Thank you, God, for what you have done. I was thinking about the story of the 10 lepers. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but 10 lepers come to Jesus. And when they leave that encounter, all 10 of them on their way, they start looking at their skin and they notice they're healed. All 10 of them. All 10 of them receive a miracle. It's not something that they did for themselves. It's something that Jesus did for them because Jesus loved them. But here's the problem. When they noticed it, only one turned back to go say thank you. and the other nine went their way. The question I have to always ask myself is, am I the nine or am I the one? Am I the nine that just go, well, I deserved it probably anyway, and go about my way, or am I the one that says, thank you, God, for everything that you've done in my life? It's important. Everybody has something to be thankful for. No matter how terrible your life may seem, you have something to be thankful for. It's just all how you're looking at your life. Are you viewing it through the burden, or are you viewing it through the blessing? I was thinking today, like, even difficult people, like, nobody likes to deal with difficult people, but I can be thankful in those moments of having to deal with difficult people, because I understand that through dealing with them, it's going to sharpen me, it's going to equip me, it's going to make me a better leader, or maybe it's going to give me a new perspective. Maybe they're not the problem, maybe I'm the problem, I just need to shift the way I think, and so I can learn from that encounter. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So I can be thankful in all circumstances, which is what the Bible teaches us. Be thankful in all circumstances. Doesn't mean you're thankful for all circumstances. Hello. I mean, there are things that happen in life that you don't have to be thankful for, but you can find a way to be thankful in. Why? Because I know that even in this terrible situation, God is working it together for my good. Even the trials that I go through are producing something great in me. And so I say, thank you, God, for standing with me in the middle of the valley and bringing me through to the other side. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, God, I just thank you that I'm not walking through this alone. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's amazing, and it will change things in your life. Drives me nuts when I hear someone say, I don't have anything to be thankful for, because it shows me they have a limited perspective. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. Not because of anything that I have done, but because of what he has done. And so if everything else in this world is crap, I can still say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you that this is not the end result. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's a shift of the way you think. Yesterday I made a video, I don't know if you saw it, but Friday night I had to take my oldest daughter to her friend's house, which was 20 minutes away. And so I drove 20 minutes, picked up her friends, and then we had to drive another 20 minutes to another friend's house to get her. And then we drove another 20 minutes to get to the movie theater where I dropped them off. And then I drove another 30 minutes to get home. So now I'm in the car for about an hour and a half on my Friday night that I would like to enjoy. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And then Saturday morning, I wake up and I'm trying to work on my sermon. I got my coffee. I'm all sitting by myself. And Stella calls me. Hey, Dad, can you pick me up at 11:30? I said, well, it's 11:13 right now, and I'm 20 minutes away. So she said, well, I'm going to be between 11:30 and 12, which she did. And I was like, okay, I'll leave right now. And so I got my stuff, and as I was walking out to the car, I was like, I'm going to make a video because this is a perfect example of what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow. See, I could look at this situation as being a burden. Oh, man, I got to get out. I got to drive her around. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I could look at it as a burden, and it could create an attitude, and I could get grumpy, and nothing good's going to come from that. Or, and again, I'm learning. I'm learning. I've not perfected any of this. Or I can look at it and go, God, I'm thankful that I have a daughter. I'm thankful that I have a daughter that wants to spend time with me in the car. I'm thankful that I have a daughter that has good friends. I'm thankful that they're healthy, that they're laughing. I'm thankful that they have an opportunity to go to the movies and enjoy themselves. I'm thankful that I have the privilege of being able to pay for a movie and buy her popcorn without worrying about how we're going to make ends meet. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Burden or blessing? It's all how you look at it. But here's what you have to understand, and this is so important. When gratitude becomes a part of my life and it starts to grow, then it will start growing things for me. See, if I take an apple seed and I put it into the ground, it will grow an apple tree. But once that apple tree matures, the apple tree will start growing some fruit. That's how gratitude works. If I will intentionally learn to be thankful, and it's something I have to intentionally learn to do. I have to shift the way I think. But if I'll start investing gratitude into my life, as it grows, it will start growing things for me. Turn to the person next to you and say, it'll grow things for you. I want to hit a few of these really quick. This will blow your mind. I'm telling you, church, listen, last November I did an entire series on gratitude, and it changed my life. If it did nothing else for anyone else, it changed my life because I started seeing, wow, this thing has the power to produce something in my life. Now, watch what studies show. This will blow your mind. It says this: gratitude improves your brain function and physical health. Think about it. Gratitude improves your brain function and physical health. Can you bring up Psalm 92? I want to show this to them real quick. Because it's amazing how science is just now catching up with what the scripture has always said. The Bible says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. What's that mean? It's beneficial. Anything is that we say is good, that means it's beneficial. If I say it's good to brush your teeth, you understand there's a benefit to brushing your teeth. If I say it's good to exercise, you understand there's a benefit to exercise. If I say it's good to shower, some of you are like, really? Yeah. It's really good, and the person next to you would really appreciate if you did it next week. But if I say it's good to shower, that means there's a benefit to it. So when the writer is saying it's good to give thanks, he's wanting us to clue in on the fact that if you'll do this, it's going to benefit your life. Now, science is telling us that gratitude improves your brain function and your physical health. Gratitude creates happiness. I think the Bible says something about we enter the gates with thanksgiving. We enter the courts with praise. So what's it showing us? It's showing us the avenue into the presence of God. You with me so far? So we come into the very presence of God through what? Thanksgiving. But once we are there, the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thanksgiving and gratitude creates happiness. See, it actually has the ability to shift and change your environment. It may not change what's going on around you, but it changes what you are allowing to happen inside of you. I've learned this. There's days where I just like wake up and like everything I see is wrong. You've ever had those days? Everything I see is wrong. And if I'm not careful, I'll start to spiral. And when I start to spiral, I put on Travis Tritt. And if you ever hear me playing Travis Tritt, you better know T-R-O-U-B-L-E is coming. And T-R-O-U-B-L-E is spelled A-R-A-M. That's my name, Arm. But when I've gotten in those times, I've noticed that if I'll just simply take a moment to pause and reflect on the goodness of God and the things that I take for granted, like, man, it's a beautiful day. Look at the trees. Look at the birds. God did this for me to enjoy. It starts to produce gratitude, and as it produces gratitude, it produces thanksgiving and praise and worship. And as I do that, the things inside of me change. The burdens may still be there, but now I am so filled with thanks that I don't have room for complaints. Again, I'm learning this. I have not perfected this, but this is something that I am actively trying to pursue in my life. So not only does it create happiness, gratitude is an antidote for toxic emotions. Worry, fear, depression, anxiety. How do you start shifting those things around? Through gratitude. Why? Because gratitude invites the presence of God to step in. When God steps in, things begin to change because he brings the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. So I can't live in confusion when I have his peace. I can't live in depression when I have his joy. It's amazing. See, science is just telling us what the Bible's told us all along. Gratitude improves relationships and opens doors to people and opportunities. Why? Because people like hanging out with grateful people. People don't like hanging around people who gripe and complain all the time. What is it that you call me sometime, Ashley? Gome? Gom. Every once in a while, Ashley will call me a gom. And it's a reminder that I'm being a grumpy old man. See, I have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the wife to help lead and guide my life. But I'm thankful for those opportunities because it gives me time to reflect and go, you know what? Why should I be grumpy and complain in this moment that I could view as a blessing? And I'm an expert at taking what is a blessing and finding the burden in it. But I'm learning to shift that. I'm learning to change that. How? Through thanksgiving. You want to find healing in your relationships? Start being thankful for the people in your life. Start letting them know that you're thankful for them. Sometimes it's so easy for us to extend our gratitude towards people on our outer circle, but the people who are closest to us don't hear us say thank you or I love you or show them or express to them. We really do. We take our spouses for granted. It's a blessing that God has placed in our life. And if we'll start cherishing them as a blessing, it will start shifting and changing things. Now, it does take both parties involved to say, you know what? We're working on this together because this is the result we want. And if this is the result we want, here's the seed I got to sow. Because I'll never get the harvest without sowing the seed. You follow me? If I want something new, I have to sow something new. It boosts serotonin and produces dopamine. Now, dopamine is your brain's pleasure chemical. Serotonin plays a key role in mood, sleep, digestion, wound healing, bone health, blood clotting, and sexual desire. Somebody say, it is good to give thanks. I see you. Don't say that, Pastor. No, it's good to give thanks. If I want something new, I've got to do something new. I keep on saying that over and over again because I want it to stick in your mind. Because some of us, we desire something new, but we keep on doing the same thing. That's insanity. The other day when we were skiing, we kept on getting on this lift. And for those of you who don't know, a lift is it's like a chair that takes you up the mountain. We kept on getting on this same lift that took us up the mountain. And as a result, we skied the same path. And for a while, it was fun. But eventually, it's like, you know what? We've done this for a few hours. This is getting old. I'd like to try something new. So what we did was we skied down to a different lift. And once we got on that lift, it took us to a completely new area with a new view and new trails to ski. Are you seeing? If I wanted something new, I've got to do something new. We understand that in the practical sense, but what about in our life, in our relationships, in our family, in our business? What is the new thing that you are willing to do to get the desired result? The Bible says, be thankful in all things. Why? Because thanksgiving has the ability to produce good things. The person who wrote that is the Apostle Paul, who overcame tremendous hardship, and he was able to do it because he was grounded in gratitude. No matter what he went through, he found something to be thankful for. It really will change your life, church. It really is a seed that will produce a powerful harvest, but you've got to intentionally start sowing it. And the challenge today is, how can I start intentionally making room for gratitude in my life? Maybe it's a gratitude journal. And if you've never done that before and you start doing it, you're going to find that it's pretty difficult. Because when you start going, okay, I'm going to write down what I'm thankful for, you'll come up with two or three things and you'll be like, oh no. It's because you haven't trained your mind to see the blessings yet. But the more you do it, the longer that list will get and you'll start seeing there are so many good things in your life. And when you see the good that you enjoy and you know it comes from God, it starts to grow gratitude. That gratitude should result in thanksgiving, worship, praise, and generosity. And as I do that, it will start growing things for me. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.